Okay. So right before we turned on the microphone, Steve goes, you know, we've never talked about UFOs. And I said, yes, we have. Steve's like, nope, nope, no, we haven't. I've mentioned how I go out under the stars sometimes and look up, but, you know, we haven't. And so I went, all right, let's do it. He goes, you haven't told about your New Year's Eve sighting.
I know, and I just want you to tell that, and that's it.
And you don't want to out yourself
I really don't. I'm suddenly here in front of the microphone going, why did I suggest that topic?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell my New Year's Eve UFO story, and then you'll probably elbow your way in and go, I've got one too.
Okay, before we even start.
Yes.
Before we start.
Yeah.
It's not a caveat.
Yes.
But I don't really know what they are.
Okay.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've had phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So I think UFOs is good because they're unidentified. You don't know what they are.
Well, that's the whole thing is if you really look at what it means, it's an unidentified flying object. And a lot of people identify them as aliens.
That's right.
But if we're going to be precise and scientific, we're going to call them unidentified because we don't really know what they are. We just know we've seen them.
Yeah. And in all of my experiences, one has never landed and nothing's got out because I'd be running a mile because I'm a big chicken. So,
By the way, reminds me of when I went with my ex-partner years and years ago. We went into a double kayak out in Jervis Bay or something like that to see whales.
Mm.
And then when they came close, there was a big juvenile that swam underneath the kayak. Talk about running a mile. I mean, we just paddle, just wanted to get out of there so fast because you go from like, oh, whales, spiritual connection, wonderful, to go, get out of here. Holy shit, they're huge.
They're monstrous.
It's the size of a Greyhound bus is going underneath our kayak. A primal fear takes over.
Absolutely.
So the same thing would happen even if, like little green men, even if they were cute.
But one of the things that you do get when you hang out with whales and dolphins and things, nature, you have contact, a sense of...
You do.
Contact.
You do. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, in this whale's... You're so happy because it's turning into a whale broadcast.
No, we'll bring it back. We'll bring it back.
But when we went out there, we had been paddling around for about half an hour, not seeing anything. So I decided I'd seen some videos on animal communication, and which I think, let's put a pin in it. Let's talk about animal communication in a pre-session, future pre-session. Let's make a note of that.
Okay.
But anyway, so this woman had talked about how to do that. So I decided to call the whales to show themselves, because we knew that we were on a migratory path, and that's why we were kayaking in that place at that time. And so I did this thing of just sending out thought pictures through all of the ocean around us and underneath and everything. And I just said, please show yourselves. And within 10 seconds, there were about 5 breaches and spy hopping and waving their flukes and flipping around. And so the feeling of contact was actually like a feeling of being heard.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I want to bring to the table with UFOs, because it's exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You put out and they come in.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a little while to hone that. But let's hear about your story.
I could see
first.
It already happening. You were already going. I said, "Who are you saying already going into it?" And he panicked as soon as we hit record and broadcast. He goes, "I don't want to talk about it now." But you will. You won't be able to help yourself.
Well, I just love the connection between nature and UFOs. I think that's it's a thing.
It's a natural phenomenon. Well, anything you see with your eyeballs is a natural phenomenon. Mm. Even if you see a robot walking by, it's natural because somebody made it out of metal, things they got from the earth. Anyway, that's such a far cry. Anyway, so here's my story. I was in Hawaii with my then husband, who was a pilot, not a commercial pilot, but he had his private pilot's license and done a lot of flying. And he was Mr. Science Brain.
Mm.
He was Mr. We talked last week about socialist and blah, blah, blah. Had very little time for any kind of spirituality. So, we were in Hawaii. We were in Lahaina, which is this old fishing kind of whaling village in on Maui. And this was New Year's Eve of 1981. Actually, 81, 82. So on the 31st of December, it was 81, and it was 82 on the 1st of January. And so we were out there, and we were in a restaurant on the second story, and it was probably about 11 o'clock at night, and suddenly all the lights in the restaurant went out. We had candles on our table, and we were there with a couple of other friends, and, you know, you kind of wait. The lights go out. There's a bit of murmuring back and forth. You can hear waiters kind of scurrying around to see if they need to flip switches and get breakers going. And it stayed that way. And then we heard a commotion outside. And we realized people were starting to walk out on the balcony of this restaurant. So, and it was looking like they were seeing something. So we walked out on the balcony, like everybody else in this dining room, walked out onto the balcony. And what confronted us, the scene, was that down on the street below, as far as the eye could see in both directions, were people that had spilled out of various restaurants and shops and places that were open on New Year's Eve. And they were all milling around in the street. It was dark. Obviously, the lights were out up and down Lahaina, the main street.
That's a classic intro for a UFO, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Front Street in Lahaina. And we were about halfway along Front Street at the halfway part. And people are, you know, lighting lighters, and this was before iPhones. Nobody was like lighting up their iPhone, it was a clear night, and people were kind of like woohoo and laugh, and there's that sense of excitement when you have like a big event like that of like all the power goes out. Suddenly a hush fell over this crowd. There were easily 2,000 people. A hush fell over the entire crowd, and which was weird. And then suddenly people started noticing that several were looking up. And I looked up to my left, where increasingly the crowd's attention was being drawn, and there was a huge glowing disc that was silently hovering and silently making its way down Front Street, just up maybe to 300 feet in the air, and it was its own light source, and so it was just a glowing disc.
So when you say huge,
well, because my husband, being a pilot, he said that's about 300 feet. I said, how high up is that? And I had flown. I sort of knew roughly, but he knew, and he said that's about 200-300 feet up. You could just kind of tell.
Yeah.
And we were just staring at it, and nobody was talking. Because people were all thinking the same thing. What the hell is that? So this is early 80s. This is pre-drone, pre-anything. And it had no sound, making no sound. And it's just silently gliding down the length of the street towards where our restaurant balcony was, and then kind of over our heads. And then it went a little bit to the right, just sort of past. And then it paused. It just kind of stopped for a second. And then it did the whoosh, and it just zigzagged away up into space.
Ridiculous speed.
And my husband grabbed my arm and stepped back and just went, ugh, like that. And he didn't know what to say. And I looked at him and I said, what was that? And he goes, well, that would be the definition of an unidentified flying object.
Yeah.
Because he said, nothing in aviation does that. Nothing can do that. So the next morning in the little Hawaiian newspaper was a little article about how the Air Force base in Honolulu, some air traffic controllers and a couple of jet pilots had seen something, weird objects in the sky. That was all that was ever heard about it.
And there were hundreds of people as witnesses.
I would say there were 2,000 people because the entire street was just full. Every restaurant had emptied, and there were revelers out on the street.
What a great...
I haven't told you the best part. When that thing whooshed off, all the lights came back
on again.
No, that's not even the best part. Lahaina, being an old fishing village, half of that street was on a generator, and the other half was on hydroelectricity.
Right.
Okay. Two different power sources.
The penny just dropped. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So if there was to be a blackout, half.
You'd only get half the street. If the generator went down, half the street would still have lights.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it was kind of charging its batteries.
That's a great idea. What a great sci-fi idea.
Yeah.
That UFOs basically come to Earth. Mm-hmm. When they get seen, it charges their batteries. Mm. Because attention, energy goes where energy flows where attention goes.
And they are known to hang around thunderstorms.
Are they?
Too. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But have you ever heard this before, that the idea of the concept of UFOs charging their, sort of literally charging themselves with human attention?
No, not that one.
I love that idea.
But that's you've just taken the conversation up like four stories up higher. We might have to build towards that one. That's really worth entertaining.
I love that as a concept.
Mm.
And when you said it, my first thought was you channeled that.
Well, they are known to affect energy when they fly over. Cars stop, you know, all kinds of things go on. All this electromagnetic stuff goes on.
And we assume they interfere with it.
Yeah.
But maybe they're drawing from it.
Yes. Maybe they're charging their batteries.
Oh, my God. I love that. Because, you know, a friend of mine had a ghost in her apartment. And I think we talked about this once before with my keys being taken
Mm.
And one of the things she said was that the kind of ghostly activity was always pronounced after a party.
Mm.
Because when you have a party, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of energy, there's talking, there's music, there's lights on, there's a lot of energy, a lot of kind of electricity and bioelectricity and, you know, AC current and things like that in the space. Mm. And I heard somewhere that apparitions pull on this energy to materialize into three-dimensional reality, into the third dimension. So
now, we haven't covered a lot of ghost stories either.
Oh, we have One so Line Live.
We got so much to talk about.
We can talk about whatever we want.
Some interesting sound effects happening outside. No, we're not putting those in on purpose to make it sound spooky.
Those birds are crazy out there.
Yeah. But there was also some other metallic-y sounds happening just then.
Oh, really?
So
now let's hear one of yours. Just dip your toe in. We've got 3 minutes.
I'm just going to dip my toe in.
We can continue talking about this next week.
Yeah, because is it the first... In my experience, it's arguably, not sure if it's the first or second experience I had. That's sort of still out for analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Though there's not much to analyze here because it's so strange that it's, what are you going to use to analyze it with, you know, what measuring stick?
You're stalling.
No, I'm just sort of... it's called building a story.
Okay, sorry, I was just teasing. Go ahead, you've got 2 minutes.
But this story happened to me when I was 21, and I basically forgot it. And this is one of the things about UFO experiences with some people, with a lot of people, is that they have an experience that they go, "Oh yeah, I saw a UFO." You might tell one or two people, but you don't roll it out for your dinner party conversation, mainly because you don't want people to think you're a weirdo or something or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had boundaries on me like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I love wheeling out stories like that around a dinner party to watch everyone fall off their chairs, you know. And this story I only brought out at a party 10 years ago, and I was so shocked by the blind spot in my memory, as if suddenly it was live and now ready to be spoken about.
What do you mean? You mean you hadn't thought of it since then?
No, I had.
Uh-huh.
But it was like just in the side behind a veiled curtain, just sitting there. It's like, oh yeah, there's that story. Oh, there's that experience.
Processed it yet.
Haven't processed it yet, because not that it was traumatic, but as a tapper, you would know that extreme or high strange experiences.
You didn't know how to fit it into your worldview yet.
And so it gets put to the side of the plate. Yeah. So what it was this. I was at my parents' home on the Sunshine Coast. They had a beautiful back veranda which looked out over the Sunshine Coast. Absolutely stunning vista. And I was sitting there in some dappled shade reading a book, and suddenly I became aware of a high-pitched ringing in my ears. And when I was a little boy, It's tinnitus. Well, you know, we call it tinnitus. You get ringing in your ears. But when I was a little boy, and I don't know whether this is because of watching far too many sci-fi cartoons, I would immediately go, yes, what is my mission? I would just go into play mode going, I'm being contacted.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just play this game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I was 21, get the ringing in my ears, and suddenly I remembered where I used to go, so what is my mission? Right, Jansen's eyeballs are...
I'm loving this story.
Being wider.
I don't think I've heard this story.
What is my mission? I said automatically, and I laughed. This beautiful laugh of a memory connecting back to my childhood when, you know, it was just so lovely. And I looked out to the view, and there, hovering, it's not the right word. It was just stuck in the sky. There was no hovering.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going, woo, totally silent object. Two beautifully, highly polished chrome plates stuck together, mm-hmm. you know, an absolute perfect, classic,
mm-hmm.
high polished, liquid mercury looking spaceship.
Mm-hmm. Middle of the day.
Afternoon, actually. So there was a bit of afternoon light. It was probably about 2 o'clock in the
mm-hmm.
afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was there. It was there for so long. I had time to process it.
To take your eyeballs out, wash them under the
yeah,
sink, put them back
I
in.
Go and go.
It's still there.
Yep. Go. Oh, I need to photograph it. No, I've got no film in my camera. There's no one to alert. Everyone's out. It's a classic situation. No one's around.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have film in your camera.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going, I need to absorb and take this in. And it was so close to the veranda, I could have almost run and jumped on it. It was so close.
Really?
Yes. It was that close. It was, you know, from here to, say, the end of your house.
Really? And how big would you say that it was? How big a cross?
As big as a bus.
What?
A big round bus.
Holy crap.
And I could see the afternoon light glinting off it. I took in the view. Everything was there. And I'm just going, holy crap.
Mm.
Wow. That's all I could do was mm-hmm. wow. I don't have any lost time. There was no lost time. There was no, not that I know of.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. I wasn't abducted. It was just presenting itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not make it go away. I closed my eyes, I rubbed them, I opened them again, I closed them, I opened them again. It's there. It was there for a minute, even 2 minutes.
Wow.
And then it did the swoosh thing.
It just went, it does the little zigzag zip away.
Well, this one went away from me directly east mm-hmm. over the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it just sped away very quickly. But you remember how old black and white televisions used to, when you turn them off, they'd go to a dot
mm-hmm.
and then that would fade.
Oh, so maybe it just went to a dot.
It just folded in on itself.
Ooh.
I think it folded in on itself
mm-hmm.
as opposed and had the impression that it went away very quickly.
Mm.
So that was the story that I somehow squashed, put into the side of my memory plate,
mm-hmm.
that came out 30 years later at a party. And as I'm telling the story, I was immediately struck that something had filtered this experience. But here I was talking about it. Why was I talking about it now?
Mm-hmm.
And I was an absolute outrageous anti-UFO person. I used to think that, you know, what people experience were waking dreams, some kind of sleep paralysis, some kind of something or other. I was a complete, not skeptic, but had no time for it in my framework. Mm-hmm. I had time for everything else, mm-hmm. ghosts, psychic stuff, witches, you know, mythology. But I had no time for you. That's silly.
Yeah.
UFOs are very silly.
It's such a 1950s B-movie concept. I'm not
exactly.
interested.
Exactly. And I love all that stuff. And I'm happy for Klaatu to be on telly.
Yeah.
But not in this world.
Yeah.
You know, ridiculous.
It didn't fit with your framework, your spiritual framework, your philosophical framework. There was no slot for this.
No slot. And so I left that party early because I was freaked out. It was like suddenly I had some memory had come back,
mm-hmm.
but it was the nature of it was so bizarre. And so I went online and looked up, you know, have you ever tried Googling UFO and looked at how many?
Billions.
Like bazillions.
Billions of pages. UFO sightings. YouTube.
And so I thought, holy crap, I cannot go down this rabbit hole. I cannot go down here. This is not happening. What is it, Stephen, that you actually want to achieve here? Mm-hmm. And my inner voice came in straight away. You want to make contact yourself. And at that point, I freaked because I knew that's what I had to do. I had to make contact myself. I did not need any other people's opinions. I had to have a complete, direct Gnostic
experience.
Process. Yeah.
Wow.
And that will be the next week's chapter.
What do you reckon? Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, because we've gone a little bit over, but it was worth it. Okay. All right. So I can't wait for next week because I want to hear the rest. Okay. Because you've had other ones too. I can't wait.
This is just the tip comfortable? Of the iceberg.
Are you comfortable having said that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. So you guys, we will see you on the other side for today's offering. Mm-hmm. And come back next week for the continuation of this fascinating subject. See you guys next week. Bye.
See you there. Bye.